Hey guys, and we're back. Today with me, I have Jeff Sauer. He specializes in PPC, Google Analytics, online courses, and probably some other stuff too. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you mentioned just a few minutes ago that you left an agency that specialized in everything under the sun. And then you niched out into just one thing. How's that been working out for you?
It's been working really well. So my agency, I was the fifth person to join the agency back in the mid-2000s, and we grew to 50 people. We resisted being a full-service marketing agency, but we became one. And when you have, you know, a large number of people and resources and revenue, you can be sort of a everything to everybody type player. But when I went out on my own, I didn't really want to have a big business or a big team necessarily. I wanted to really be focused. And so I did my own focus on the Google Analytics and PPC and these online courses. And it's been all the difference because I realized early on that I can't do everything if I don't want to have a gigantic business and I don't have outside funding and stuff like that. So it really was the only way that I was able to succeed in what I chose.
Yeah, it's super interesting because, you know, when we work with clients, right, often the clients want more and more and more. And initially, when you don't have many clients, you sort of like, well, yeah, maybe I'll do a couple of these things. But in the end, it comes back to bite you, you know, because it's stuff that you're not specializing in. Then you got to get new people. Then maybe other clients don't want this anymore. So what do I do with this worker? It's just, yeah. There's a lot of challenges. So yeah, that's why I asked. And like you said.
And not only that, but when you think about it, you're drawn into your clients by being really good, best in class at one particular thing. And they say, well, what else can you do? And say that you're really good at doing organic search campaigns. And then they say, well, we want to do PPC. Well, if you're not very good at it, you take on that business. And what I teach in my agency course program is that a lot of people will end up losing their client entirely because they take on too much things that they're not good at. And they sort of lose their goodwill they've built up over time because they're doing things that they're not very good at as a pure revenue grab. And the other thing is, usually it's not very profitable if you take on something that you're not very good at, because you have to hire not just the tactical resources, but you have to hire out the entire strategic piece as well. And that's not cheap at all.
No, it's not. It's definitely not. Yeah. The funny thing is, like, and I'll tell you from my experience, sometimes, you know, you make it super clear to a client what you will and will not do. And 3 or 4 months in, it seems they forgot the conversation. They're like, oh, I thought you were doing all that other stuff too. You know, just out of the blue, which I'm like, no, that's a negative.
It can be a negative. It can be a positive. It really depends on the type of business you run, right?
Yeah, but I just tell them it's not going to happen, you know. But what made you go into the online course space? Because going from agency into this, that's a bit of a different, you know, angle on it.
Yeah, for sure. So it was way more organic than you'd think. It wasn't like a career shift. It was a progression. And so what I mean by that is my agency, we took off in the great recession of pretty much the entire world. Like, we started growing when everything else was declining. And we grew because we had a niche in performance marketing. Basically, we performed better than other marketing initiatives. And so people wanted to put their money into something that was accountable. And as we grew, it turns out, you know, at first I was the jack of all trades. I was our website designer. I was our project manager. I was our account manager. I managed PPC campaigns. I did, you know, I'd start doing DNS stuff. I was managing analytics, everything for a single, you know, for 20 plus clients, I was doing it all. And I got, you know, pretty worn out on it. And so as I went into management of this whole process that we built, and as we got to the hundreds of clients, I needed to hire. And it turns out that in the mid-2000s, when you're trying to hire a Google Analytics certified specialist or a Google AdWords certified specialist, they don't exist. There are none of them. And so I started an internal training program where I would hire people into our organization that didn't really have those skills, but they had raw talent. And I would teach them how to do these things the way that I wanted them to do it. And then a local trade school, this is in 2010, 2011, they said, can you teach this at our school? And so I started teaching at a trade school, and we were having, you know, the first time I had five people in the class, and eventually it got to like 30 plus people in the classroom, sold out, the every seat was full, teaching these skills that were in demand, getting people certified. While I was there, a university came and took my class and said, you should bring this to the university. And so I started teaching it at a university. And that this is 2014 or so, I think it was early 2014, I developed a university program to teach internet marketing. And then when I went out on my own, basically I decided I like the teaching piece actually more than I like the client management piece. Like I've figured out how clients work, and I really enjoyed the client relationships I have, but I felt my calling was actually more in getting more marketers certified, getting more people to really have these skills that were in demand in the marketplace than to be the one that actually provided the services. And so it was an organic development over the course of a long time, where the final frontier was, well, if I can only teach at a university and only physically teach in the city of Minneapolis and Minnesota, that's limiting my audience. And so, and I another thing that I haven't revealed yet is that I'm nomadic. So in 2015, I became a full-on digital nomad, and I haven't had a home or a permanent residence since that time. And so I decided I needed to take my entire business, my entire show on the road and do it on the internet. And so I started teaching online courses, and that became what I became. That's what I'm known for now. That's my primary business. And it's really been a pretty wild adventure. I have students in 100 plus countries, and it's just been awesome teaching over 10,000 people how to empower them on how to use analytics, how to use PPC, how to use all these things that I did at my agency for their own good.
Yeah, this is very different from how a lot of people launch online courses. You know, most either put something out, don't have an audience yet, and try really hard selling it, which, you know, has mixed results, or they pre-sell something they haven't made yet, and then they start building a course. Yeah, this is very organic. And it's cool too, because it seems like you got that income piece in place where you could actually start traveling, right? So it's one of these like you got your time back before you really realize what happened. You know, you're not trading your time in schools to, you know, to teach stuff. It's, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I know. It was really organic, and I agree. I mean, we're at the point where there's like courses on how to create online courses, right? And so it's sort of at a saturated point where everybody's doing it, and they call it passive income and everything like that. And it's like, my income is very active, believe it or not, but it's very freeing the way that it's gone. But it was a completely organic situation that it happened. And it's been really, it's been really rewarding at the same time. So doing, I mean, some of the things you're talking about, some of the tactics like pre-selling courses, I've done that. And there are times where I created a course with no audience. You know, I've basically stuck with it, figuring out the online space, because I thought that was the only way that I was going to have my personal freedom to travel. And so it was a struggle for a long time transitioning from teaching at a university, which is sort of it's an amazing thing, teaching at a university. Basically, you have these people who sign up for every course that the university offers, and they may or may not have any interest in the internet or internet marketing, but they just take it because it's the next thing. And so that you have these academics who take it. And then there's people who are in their normal job role who take these courses, but you sort of have a given enrollment that happens just because of the institution itself. And then when you do the online courses, there is no institution, right? There's no, I mean, other than people monetizing their blogs, it's completely different. And so it was a huge adjustment for me to realize that there was no support network. There was nobody who was lined up to take my courses. I had to completely reinvent it for the online medium.
Yeah, you mentioned the active income. So what is it that you usually do on a daily basis now?
Yeah, so this year, I break my business down into quarterly projects, basically. So things that I can work on every quarter to really make like quarterly rocks, basically. So while my agency employed the EOS system, Entrepreneurs Operating System, in order to sort of manage how we go about things. And basically every quarter you want to tackle something major in your business. And so I've adopted that method for my own business. And so we have these quarterly rocks our first quarter rock this year was a 90-day video and blog post challenge. So we did 90 videos, 90 blog posts in 90 days, wrote over 100,000 words in doing this, and have my team of five people was basically working full time just to deliver that, even on, you know, even on weekends. And so that was quarter one, was really to up our content marketing. So yes, it was a video challenge, but it was really about doubling or tripling our website traffic. And we have tripled our website traffic in 2018 compared to the end of 2017. So it has worked. And our YouTube channel, I just got a update from YouTube. I didn't publish a video in August, and we had 42,000 minutes of videos watched. So it's worked really well. Q2 was all about updating my courses to match the changes of Google around us, plus teaching in person in Minnesota. So I just finished updating all my courses to match 2018 Google interfaces. And so basically it was overhauling everything dating back 2 or 3 years into the point where we're up to date. This quarter right now, it's basically rebranding. So the Jeffalytics brand is going to be going away over the course of like 6 months. And it's going to become, I can reveal it on the podcast, it's going to become Data Driven You. So that's going to be the name of our domain name, and what we're calling ourselves is Data Driven. And that's going to be consolidation of all of our courses into one place. And the next quarter, it's going to be back to producing new content and new courses. And so working on the rounding out our course complement to help people go on a progression from wanting to learn a skill like Google Analytics or Google AdWords, or excuse me, Google Ads now, all the way up to helping them doing the career maker stuff, basically making them either a very efficient service provider as a freelancer or starting their own agency. That's my agency course program, or becoming like the best analyst, the best data-driven marketer they can be. And that's going to be my course that I'm launching. I'm not sure of the exact date right now.
Yeah, for people listening, the EOS system is very similar to the 12-hour week. That's a book. You can kind of grab that and see what Jeff's talking about here. Can you share how you launch and market courses? Because that seems to be the biggest challenge of almost any online course creator.
Yeah, absolutely. And it gets harder because there's so much saturation. And, you know, really, it's like digital media or podcasts or Kindle books. They sort of just, it's easy to download a bunch of them. It's easy to sign up. But the more clutter you have without that physical reminder that you need to do it, it's hard for people to finish courses. So a lot of people will start with great intentions and not finish them. And so you have to compete against that when you're marketing them. So the marketing of my courses has evolved. The first year that I did this, that I did online courses, I'll admit that I spent basically my entire year, this is a few years ago, 2014, trying to create the website, the course materials themselves, you know, hired all these people to do all the different aspects of it, and try to build an email list. And then I just sent my email list, which was about 1,000 people. Actually, no. So before I even got to that point, I was just building the email list. And I just sort of hoped that people would go to my homepage because I mentioned it and stuff like that. I just hoped they'd go there and buy. And as you can probably imagine, and as anybody on this podcast is listening, they're probably like, oh, you mean you think that if you build it, they will come? like this, the field of dreams is going to be your thing. And the reality is I made $1,000 off the website, and I made $0 off of somebody that I didn't actually talk to in person, in beforehand. So okay. I sold like $1,000 worth of courses, and it was to people that I had just talked to at a networking event. So it was a terrible, terrible experience. The next year, I got smart about it. I started experimenting with like webinars. I built my email list. I pre-sold the course. I did a lot of tactics just from reading about people talking about selling online courses, and some of them worked, and some of them were just mediocre. And over time, again, networking, talking to people, figuring out what's working in the world of online courses, I basically tried to double down on the things that were working, and then just continue to do experimental marketing where I was doing partnerships with platforms to sell my courses. I was doing Google Ads, which is something that I teach. I was doing Facebook ads. I was basically doing everything, growing my email list through content marketing. But it was, you know, even in the first 3 years that I was doing this, it was somewhat sporadic because I didn't really have the institution that I was mentioning about how universities work, I didn't have my institution lined up or working or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And so it was basically just building intellectual capital to the point where in 2018, if I send an email to my list of over 20,000 people, you know, then the chances are that email is going to hit the people that have taken my previous courses and it's going to sell. And so I go from, you know, I went from launching something that was in the thousands to in the tens, you know, or in the five figures. And I've even had six figure launches just going to my list. So basically through email marketing, I've been able to really keep the business very solvent, and it's worked really well just from my own, the organic goodwill that I've built up by providing useful content to people and having this back catalog of courses that they really enjoyed. And then they say, well, what are you doing next? I want in on that.
What sort of emails do you send out when you start pitching things? Like, what do you only pitch, or do you give some value? Like, how does that look?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm definitely on the edge or on the side of delivering a lot of value before there's a pitch. And so, and obviously I'm a data-driven guy. My company is becoming data-driven, right? So I've experimented with many types of funnels. I mean, I'm just like anybody else. I'm a student as much as I'm a teacher. And so I'll read about different things that people are doing, see if it works. I'll apply it to the context of my specific situation, which I think is important that everybody, any lifelong student should understand, which I hope everybody is a lifelong learner. And that is that people who give you a course or give you something, they're not telling you to take their exact blueprint and copy it. They're giving you their backstory and how they did things, and you're supposed to apply that to your situation, because obviously a course or an information product could never really understand everything that you know. So you want to take these things and skim it for like one or two good insights that you can use that can really make your business better. And that's sort of what I've done. So I've tried the product launch formula from Jeff Walker, and that didn't work out for me. I did it exactly to his script, and it didn't work out for me. I've tried email marketing things using like the autoresponder madness. A lot of these things I just try based on what I see, or I'll look at people's sequences. And then based on how my list reacts, because my list is different than somebody who might be on a different list. My people are, they're all data-driven, data heads, geeks, PPC analytics people who are really interested in the technical aspects of digital marketing. And so I started to basically show them a lot of the really fun technical stuff they can do, and then tell them that they can get more behind the scenes in my course. So I give away a lot of really awesome stuff for free. And then I say, well, if you think this was awesome, then come on inside, because I have even more than this. Like, I have stuff that I haven't even shown you yet that are available inside the course. And so it's basically a give a lot of value method, and then give them even more inside the paid program.
Other than the email marketing, what else is working for you?
I think joint venture partnerships can work really well, just working with people who have an audience and getting your courses in front of them. So we have some affiliate connections. We have some areas there. I think, you know, using your organic search traffic to the point where you can either capture a lead from your, you know, doing lead magnets. We get thousands of leads a month just from people who download free materials on our site. You can, you know, we're working on some funnels now where we give them we have a discount funnel basically where they get a discount just for joining our list. And that's worked out really well. Sales come in more consistently because of that. Email based funnels based on the user's behavior. So instead of doing a launch, which is really a launch is ultimately tied to the dates that you run it, we do evergreen launches where we're actually always launching. And that can be really nice in between the times when you're actually launching a product, just to get the revenue coming in. Paid advertising, we've done paid advertising. It's profitable, but not super through the roof profitable. So that's something where we're working on getting better at that area, adjusting to selling info products versus doing lead generation campaigns and everything. So that's something that is going to be a 2019 initiative. But basically, it's partnerships and it's our own email list and content marketing that's the lion's share of how we're bringing in sales for our courses.
You mentioned affiliates. How do you structure those deals? you know, a lot of the internet marketers say you shouldn't make anything, you know, just make sure you get the list. But obviously you want to make some money. So I'm just curious how you structure that.
Yes. I mean, it's, we evolve it, right? Each one's different. It's obviously some kind of revenue share and getting in front of somebody's list. And so the biggest thing that I've learned is that the person whose list it is, the person who's earned the trust of the people that I'm marketing to has to be very involved with the promotion and the project, right? So they have to understand your product, they have to understand their audience, and they have to be the ones that are really selling them on the value of this thing they're bringing to the table. And so it's setting expectations with them that it's not just give me access to your list, it's actually give your list access to me, and making that shift. And so it can be things like we do webinars together, just, you know, where we introduce the product and talk about it. We can do joint marketing. We can create a specific landing page. The more active we both are with the promotion, the better off it goes. And so if it's something where they just email their list one time and say, hey, this Jeff Sauer guy's got $1,000 product, you can imagine that that's not enough for somebody to make that $1,000 decision. But if we do a webinar together and we continue to add value to these people, then they will see the more value in signing up for the program. So the more active both parties are, the better off it is. And so I'm not at the point now where I recruit 100 affiliates and then I have a leaderboard where I give them a Tesla or something like that, which I have seen in other info products, but that's not really me. I don't want a general audience to be convinced this week that they're going to start an agency, and then next week that they're going to start affiliate marketing program, and then the third week it's going to be fulfilled by Amazon program, and then it's drop shipping, and then, you know, I don't want to be the flavor of the week. I really want to take a very specific type of person who's a technically oriented digital marketing professional, or really in the digital space, doesn't even have to be marketing, and who wants to create a profitable business that can get like a lifestyle business. Like I know what I know, and it's that I have a great lifestyle because of my lifestyle businesses I've created. And I know how much I struggled over the 10 years, the decade plus of trying to do that. I want to get people there faster. And that's what I've designed my programs to do, is basically to take somebody who is struggling with how they're going to put these things together. They get all this information, like what's a blueprint where you can take this information, take action on it, and turn it into a lifestyle business that allows you to do pretty much whatever you want to do, whether it's travel the world like I'm doing, or if it's to support your family, or if it's to be able to work less and make more money, all those types of things. That's the type of person that I want. I don't want somebody's flavor of the week. I want to take somebody who's already got the skills, or who has the ambition to get the skills, and I want to mold it into the lifestyle they want it to be. And so that's not for everybody.
How do you make sure that people actually go through and finish your courses? Because that's the main challenge I see with online courses, right? Since someone's not sitting in a classroom, and you know, the motivation's not there, you're not there with a stick yelling at them, you know, it's but it's tough, right? To get someone that's, you know, people are gung-ho, they like information, they like reading stuff, it's like education porn, right? But then how do you get them to actually finish these courses?
Yeah, so I mean, this is another one where you're right. My success rate of completion in courses in person is 100%. Everybody shows up, everybody does it, everybody learns, and it's amazing, right? So that is a great benchmark. Online is not nearly at that percentage of completion, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, like I do engagement items. Like we do emails every week to remind them of what's available in the course. We try to keep in front of them. We do live events where we can say, you know, attending this live event, you want to have watched these videos beforehand. So more of like a cohort where people, and that's an advantage of doing launches for your courses, that you can put them in a cohort and you can say, hey, you're all going through this together, so don't fall behind. Yeah, so we put our students in a cohort, remind them that they're in this together, and just keep them going, and try to have that continuity where these people, where somebody going through the course has the urgency that they would have in a classroom, you know, that they can dedicate time to it. But we're still in the experimental phase of really perfecting the formula for how it works with my audience. And so obviously I have ideas. We make improvements. We're upgrading our platform right now to be more engaging, more of a platform where somebody has incentives to finish the courses. So like a points-based system where you can get points and even get like t-shirts and swag and stuff like that based on how much you participate. So we're trying to give them incentive. We're doing more certifications and certificates of completion, things that really have an incentive or give an incentive to finish. And that's really part of this data-driven, our rebranding to data-driven is going to be focused on, or it is focused on, these achievements. So depending on when this podcast goes live, some of these things will be live on the site. Some of these things will be more late 2018, 2019 type initiatives.
Got it. Let's talk about the digital nomad part just a little bit before we finish up. You know, I take it for granted because I've been doing it for so long myself. How do you deal with your team with changing locations so much, with the time differences, just the basic stuff that we deal with?
Yeah, no, it's great. So my team is, it's six people that are working on the business full time, and they are situated all throughout the world. So I have some in Southeast Asia, I have some people in the US, some people in Europe, and so pretty much every time zone is hit upon in this group of people that I'm working with. And so I do one-on-ones with everybody once a week. I try to. Sometimes it's twice a week for people that are really involved with a lot of things that I'm working on. Sometimes it's once a month if they don't need to get the updates all the time. And so we do one-on-ones, and basically somebody's probably taking that call at a time that's not their favorite time to take a call. So I take evening calls or early morning calls. That's pretty common practice in the business. And that's just the reality of what we're doing. And then I'm in the US right now, I'm going to Southeast Asia next month. I'm going to be spending more time with my resource in Southeast Asia. We're going to meet in person. We're going to be spending a lot more quality time together. And then it won't be as strong with the ones in the US. So it is sort of like a give and take. Sometimes we're really talking to each other in real time. Sometimes we're time shifting things. We do a lot of videos to update each other. So that way we can time shift. And actually, it's really something that I like is to, instead of having a meeting about everything, you just record your thoughts in a video, and then that person can watch it at 1.5 speed and get the gist of what you're talking about. And you've just saved everybody a ton of time. You're not trying to do logistics. So you sort of make it a non-issue as much as possible. Like, does this really need to be a real-time communication? And actually, I don't think that real-time communication is very helpful for most businesses in most cases. I think real-time communication is actually the biggest time suck that a business has. And so part of being a digital nomad, what it's made me realize is that my most productive times are when I'm not doing real-time communication. Because if I just respond to emails and I do it for 1 hour, when I'm in Southeast Asia, when I wake up and that handles the entire US business day, I now have 10 hours where I don't have anybody bothering me until the US wakes up. That's pretty amazing. And so I've realized that sometimes these constraints we put in place are like, we just do these things because that's what we did at our jobs, or that's what we did at a life that we've sort of, that I've worked really hard to not do that anymore. And so I have to question everything, and I might make my team question things as well and say, is this really the right way to do stuff? And what it turns out is that most of the time there's a more efficient way to do things, even if it's just talking to people.
Yeah, I like that. How do you handle the switching the locations part? Because, you know, that's something a lot of people don't realize until they start moving around. Like, you know, you got to settle in, you got to find your grocery store, you got to find your coffee shops, you got to find all this stuff. You know, it's actually counterproductive in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so when I first started doing this in 2015, we averaged a new place every 3 days. And my business didn't do very well. Like, this, the business suffered. My relationship with my wife suffered because we were moving around so much, and it was just too much logistics. And so now we've really shifted to saying, we're going to go to places for 3 months at a time, you know, at least a month, preferably 3 months. And so what we do is we set up a home base somewhere, and then we can take side trips. We can, you know, not bring all of our equipment and stuff like that. But when I go to Southeast Asia, I'm going to bring a 27-inch iMac, and I'm going to bring my nice microphone, and we're going to set up shop there and you know, that's it. You basically, you set up your workspace in your Airbnb or wherever you're working at, and that's work time. And then play time is when you're not bringing that stuff around or when you take the time off. And to make preparations for this, we're very thorough on like Airbnb or whatever website we're using to get into a house or even a hotel website. We make them, I've actually asked them, can you tell me where their dead spots are on your Wi-Fi? Or can you do a speed test so I can make sure that your, that what you call high speed internet is actually high speed internet. I've brought my own routers along with me, knowing that most people have really crappy infrastructure and routers, that that could be the problem. Routers are actually like they're cheap, but most people don't upgrade them because they think that since they have wireless, that's good enough. And so I make these improvements and I ask these questions based on learning from the bad experiences I had. And I do whatever I can in order to make sure that I don't have a bad experience again. And it's been gone really well once we started knowing what questions to ask.
Yeah, just a heads up, man. If you're getting a router and bringing it to Thailand, it's going to blow out. The electricity is so different. It just, mine blew up on me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just a heads up if you're coming this way. Because it happened. It's just smoked. It was hilarious. My girlfriend's like, what's happening? Are you cooking something? I was like, yeah, the internet.
That's funny. I've actually blown out routers doing the same thing, using the wrong adapters. So that's good to know, because we are going to Thailand. So
where in Thailand?
Chiang Mai will be our home base.
So that's where I am.
Oh, great. Well, we're going to have to meet up in person then.
We catch up, yeah. So does your wife do online work too, or is she just tagging along?
Yeah, so she worked at a big four CPA firm, and then left. That work's really hard to bring on the road. And so she's been part of my business. So she's doing about half time as a lot of things on my business. A lot of the business aspect of the business and the financials and the legal type stuff. And then she started her own travel agency. So she's working now booking travel and trips for other people. And that's a fun story. We were in our local paper in Minneapolis, and they did a whole feature of like digital nomads from Minnesota. And a travel agency saw us and they said, well, if you're traveling to all these places, how about we give you an email address at our agency, and then you get agent rates to stay at these luxury hotels, and then give us reviews and let us know if they're good or not.
Wow.
And I was like, that is the best idea I've ever heard. And
that's the best idea I've heard.
Yeah. So we've been doing that as we've been, and it's blossomed from there into a full-fledged travel agency. But it started out just being feet on the street for this agency in Minneapolis. And we've stayed at some pretty darn nice places as a result.
That's awesome. Jeff, where can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find me at jefflytics.com. And if depending on when you're listening to this, that might be redirected to my datadrivenyou.com website. Either way, you can find me there. And we'd be happy to connect with you on LinkedIn or to talk to you on my courses. And so my courses and everything is going to be consolidated into one platform. But if you go to jefflytics.com, that'll redirect you to wherever I'm at that point in time.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Like this.